hide me.
I didn't do it to hurt you.
It's not me you're hurting. You're willing to sacrifice building a solid future for a bicycle race. It's very self-destructive.
Would you try to understand? The only thing I'm good at is riding this bike. And now I have a chance to be the best. Maybe the best in the world. I can take those SATs anytime, maybe in 6 months. But this is the only opportunity I'll ever have like this. I started out as 1 in 1,000. Now it's 1 in 20. Now to give that up, I think that would be very self-destructive.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 73 of the Flickers from the Cave podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Marty.
And welcome back to the cave. We are...
Get your fucking chucks strapped on, because we're about to go...
Your vans.
Biking. Man. Everybody in this movie wore their Chuck Taylors.
Yeah, there was a lot of Chuck Taylors in this movie.
Except for the girls who wore... their leopard print bodysuits and high heel shoes.
And that was okay, too.
And a lot of makeup.
Yeah, we're going to go...
Off-roading.
This is a shock, I'm sure, but we're going to do a couple of movies from the 80s.
But in this case, for me, two brand new ones.
Never seen these before. We're outside our box a bit on these.
We're coming back on track from the detour we took through the Carry On films.
Yes, so, that was also very much outside.
It was totally outside. Much more outside that on the way back to our normal sort of area, we passed through the BMX craze of the 80s.
That's right. Which, believe it or not, that was a thing.
It was a total thing.
I had a BMX bike.
I didn't, but my neighbors did.
You didn't have a BMX bike?
No, I had whatever my dad could get, which was frequently just whatever he could get. So
I had like a Murray BMX bike. And
it must have been nice.
No, it was not like a fancy schmancy thing. Yeah, but it was still not one of the ones that had all the like shock absorbers and shit on it. Like I knew people that had them, but like I rode the shit out of that bike, and we jumped ramps and we crashed a lot.
So this was nothing. I mean, I'd seen kids do it, and my neighbors had BMX bikes. I never had them.
Yeah, well, I didn't do all this fucking nut job shit. These people were doing half piping and like bouncing it and all this. We would just, I lived next to a softball field, and it was the perfect place to do this because it was really flat. And we would, like, about where second base would be, we would build a ramp. And then we would get it home plate, and so you could use the dirt infield to really dig in and get a lot of speed up. And then, like, you'd hit the ramp, and when you would land in the grass of the outfield.
So if you wiped out.
When you completely destroyed yourself and wiped out, you would at least be in the grass, and you weren't sliding through the gravel. But, yeah, there were many, like, sundry skidded up, like, scratched up faces and elbows and knees. And
did you ever have to walk the bike home because the wheel got bent?
I never bent the wheel. We blew tires out, like, a lot.
Yeah.
And I never, thank God, I never bent the wheels because that was expensive to replace.
It takes a lot to bend a bicycle.
Yes, it really does. And I so wanted I guess what would be the equivalent of a mag wheel for your BMX bike. The ones that had
with like five spokes.
Yeah, the big thick spokes. Yeah. But I did manage to get my hands at a secondhand shop on a set of regular spoked wheels, but they had the extra heavy duty spokes, so they were a little more durable, which is maybe why I didn't.
So you were literally into this stuff. This was just something I was aware of.
No, I rode the shit out of my
BMX bike. That's cool. I didn't know that.
And like every, like about three times a summer, I had this bike for years.
Mm-hmm.
And about three times a summer, I would strip all the parts off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And hang like, the frame in a tree on a piece of line, like a piece of clothesline, and paint it.
Oh, okay.
So, like, it was a different color all the time, like about three times a year.
And it was a Huffy?
It was, yeah, I think it was a Huffy. Yeah, I said Murray, but I think it was a Huffy.
Okay. Because I couldn't remember what you said.
Huffy was like the step down from...
Well, like Huffy was the one everybody had, because that's Huffy the one you could get.
It was the readily available. It was the Kmart BMX. It's
kind of entry level, but still solid.
Yeah. Oh, it served me well. I tell you what, I saw a shitload of the movies that we've talked about on this podcast. That's how I got to the theater, was that fucking bike.
Oh, really?
I would ride my bike to the theater and I would chain it to the, like, to the rail out in front of the theater and go in. And
I had like an English made, like, 7-speed road bike that my dad got that my dad worked with. But where was I supposed to ride it? Around the house in the yard. And that's not the bike for that.
So
my friends were out there hauling ass around on these badass BMX bikes. And I was like wondering if I could like go down to the village and get the scones for my tea.
If you're like, oh, it must be nice when I'm telling you about my...
Well, you had the thing BMX that's cool.
You had the fucking like, Lord Fauntleroy model.
I did. That would be like me bragging about all the bow ties I had when I was a kid. That wasn't going to get me any popularity contests. That was just more expensive and not the appropriate thing for the matter at hand, which was to haul ass and do rad stunts.
That's like the guy rolling his window of his Rolls Royce down and looking at the guy in the... fucking Pinto with mag wheels going, damn. Wow, check that out.
Nice wheels, buddy.
That's right.
Well, no, that meant here I was 12 years old wishing I was doing stunts, but all I could do was very difficultly like pedal my ass around the yard because it had little narrow wheels that weren't intended for grass.
Right.
So I'm not complaining. Thank you very much, but it wasn't the same thing. I wasn't going to do any ollies or kick flips with this fucking thing.
Right.
And speaking of rad stunts, the first movie we're going to talk about is from 1986, and it's called Rad.
And without further ado, our partner in Helltrack and president of the Federation of American Bicyclists and owner of the Mongoose Bicycle Company, Mr. Duke Best.
Thank you, Mayor Jenkins, for your wonderful introduction. And thank you, you wonderful citizens of Cochrane, for allowing us to share with you this beautiful city and community. This could be mutually beneficial to all of us.
That, Mr. Best, is what we are counting on.
And I publicly want to thank you, Mr. Timmer, for your enormous contribution in this venture in helping make Helltrack a reality. And I assure you, we will not disappoint you.
You really must understand, Mr. Timmer, that a race such as Helltrack has never even been attempted in BMX history. But when you put up $100,000 in a new Corvette, you're going to have all the top factory riders right here.
Think about it. TV cameras in every corner of the town, showing on network television. The spirit of Cochrane. And, of course, my bicycles.
So there is a town hall meeting in the town of Cochrane where they're setting up this Super Bowl of BMX, I think is how they refer to it.
Yes.
Called Helltrack.
Helltrack. What every town wants to be known for is something called
Helltrack.
Anything associated with hell.
Yeah, exactly. As well, I mean, you know.
Got to be good for business.
Every now and then. We have the Texas Pete that's got It's hot as hell.
Yep, Anton LaVey will be there.
Yeah. So this was the town hall meeting. It's sort of like the Amity town hall meeting talking about the boat regatta, where they hope no sharks come and eat people. And this is going to be big business for this town. They have a parade. And there's actually, when they're having air quotes parade, the people watching, these guys, they go, man, this is a heck of a parade.
Yeah.
And it is literally like three vans and a car and some dudes doing BMX stunts. It is not a parade.
Now, there's a dude on top of a semi-trailer riding a bicycle doing BMX, like a little bit of BMX trickery on top of a semi.
I didn't even notice that.
That's impressive. Okay. I was impressed by that.
There is a lot to be impressed with in this movie.
We should say this movie is directed by Hal Needham.
Of Smokey and the Bandit fame.
And like
Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run, and I think Hooper.
Hooper.
So Megaforce. Yes, Megaforce.
Watch the skies.
That's another issue. But so many car crash, like,
oh, he was a stunt coordinator who then went on to direct.
And, like, became essentially a fucking cottage industry.
Dude, I mean, there was a period there where, he did The Villain. I think that was one of his first things with Arnold Schwarzenegger. But where that was something you look forward to is the next Hal Needham
movie. Oh, I absolutely did.
Because it was going to be awesome. It was probably going to have Burt Reynolds in it.
There was a 90% chance it was going to have... And Jerry Reed's going to pop up somewhere.
Or at least do the theme song.
Yes.
Generally a very reliable guy, and also someone who could kind of tell which way the wind was blowing. And in this case, it was blowing straight from the BMX store.
Yes, exactly. He was a bit of, I hate to say a bandwagon jumper, but he made movies. He was a populist.
There you go.
That sounds so much better.
He knew what the people wanted.
That sounds so much better than bandwagon jumper. He was a cinematic populist, as opposed to the iconoclastic nature of like a Stanley Kubrick. He was a populist. He would see a trend, and goddammit, he'd make a movie about it and make a shitload of money.
You got to remember though, like stuff like Smokey and the Bandit, there wasn't really. I mean, that really established a genre that then, you know, he kind of saw these things that were being made, these little backwoods racing around, you know, moonshiner movies and stuff.
Let's
make a big old comedy with a lot of car crashes and stuff in it. Cause he knew all the car drivers. He knew all the stuff. And he was like,
he had probably driven a lot of the cars stuff like Dirty Mary and Crazy Larry.
Or at least was part of the, part of the team.
He'd probably done planning. It. Cause like, Dirty Mary and Crazy Larry is a car crash movie, but it is not a comedy.
No, it is not.
It's some serious shit. But Smokey the Bandit going on.
Is a funny fucking movie.
And I mean, Cannonball Run is
just the Love Boat in cars.
Or the Mad World.
It is exactly that.
It's just like get a bunch of people and have them cameo.
And just have them go out and goof around and have a good time.
When you got like fucking Mel Tillis and Terry Bradshaw with a car full of beer in the middle of the race, just fucking hammered every time you see them.
So. Or Jack Elam wanting to put his finger in your ass.
That's right. Roaming proctologist, Dr. Jack Elam.
That's not this movie, though. This one is about BMX bike.
This is about BMX bike.
So, that's the town hall meeting we listened to. And they're coming to town. They're gonna make the town famous. They're going to put them on the map by building Hell Track there and focusing the attention of the world. Because the world champion BMXer is coming.
Yes, the top dog.
Bart
Younger? I'm going to say.
Bart Taylor.
Very close. Damn it. I knew it wasn't Simpson.
But Bart Taylor played by Bart Connor.
Okay, maybe I got Connor.
So, yeah. But anyway.
Connor Taylor Younger.
He actually has a whole posse that he rolls around with. He's got these two twin guys who wear like fucking
they look
Kraftwerk
like
costumes.
They looked like they escaped from the set of Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
They looked like they came from a fucking the Thompson Twins video. I mean, it's
like goofy. All this, you know how on Buck Rogers, so they would always like go somehow. They would manage at least every third episode to work in like Buck goes to a disco.
Yeah.
No matter what planet.
Yeah, with or Princess Ardala or something.
Or spaceship he was on. He would like go to a disco and you would always see like guys wearing those suits with the big giant kind of
like
shoulder
V-shaped.
Blade,
yeah.
Chest plate fucking thing. Well, I don't.
The fashion, the makeup. Everything. The music in this movie. Yeah. This is the 80s writ large across the screen. This is awesome.
And it is every, like, every trope. Like, it,
every
name,
cliche. Every
name
everything.
An 80s sports based film. And this is fucking Days of Thunder crossed with Karate Kid.
Yes.
With a dollop of Top Gun. And
a whole lot of Our Gang. I mean, this is, come on, y'all, we can do it. We'll work together.
Yes, yes.
And the town getting behind the local boy.
Yeah. And a super hot Lori Loughlin pre, Full House.
Mm-hmm.
This is about the same era as the Sean Cunningham movie that she was in called The New Kids.
Okay. Oh.
Which is a
I'd
movie.
I'd like to watch that.
I'd really like to
do. Got James Spader in it.
Spader
yeah,
is
I've never
the villain.
Seen it.
You've never seen that? It is. And I think Daniel Roebuck and maybe Eric Stoltz.
It's sort of like River's Edge as far as the casting and stuff. And
it
sort
is.
Of, it's always mentioned in the same breath as the River's Edge.
But where River's Edge is, has a like really kind of, reality-based kind of feel to it. Mm-hmm. It seems very real and stuff. New Kids is way over the top and much more of an exploitation movie.
Oh, cool.
And a lot more fun than River's Edge. I really like River's Edge and I admire that movie, but New Kids is just like, I won't even spoil some of the stuff for you that happens in it, but it is.
Yeah,
like,
I'm aware of it, but I've never seen it.
There's so much good shit we could do with that. But again, I digress.
But that's not rad.
That's not rad.
I mean,
it is
rad. But it's not.
But it's not rad, the movie. Girl, it's taking hold of me, making me think it could really come true. With you by my side, who can say what stroke of luck might strike today? With you. Hey!
All over the world, and I don't think I've ever seen such beautiful country.
Yeah, it's nice. Never been anyplace else, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you
going
to college?
College? I guess you are, huh?
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I had planned to, but qualifying is the same day that my SATs are on.
So?
You know, maybe it's a mistake to give up college to try to qualify. Besides, those pros are awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've had lots of training, they've had lots of experience, but, you know, there's something about the way you ride. It's so natural. I just think it's incredible.
Really?
It took me 6 months to learn to airwalk. It took you one afternoon. And besides, you don't have to give up college. My sister took 6 months off, and then she went back to school. It didn't hurt her.
If I try to qualify, will you be there?
So there is the lead of the film.
Our hero.
Crew. C-R-U. Played by the 24-year-old Bill Allen.
Yeah.
Who's fine, but not great.
No, he's not great, but
he's fine.
He's
earnest.
That was the word I was going to use. He is. That is one... Earnest fuck. If he was any more earnest, he'd go to jail.
Well, exactly. the whole movie is earnest. Like, painfully earnest and 100% lacking in any sort of our modern irony.
Oh, there's
that coats
no
everything.
Fucking
this
nudge, nudge, wink, wink, no, anywhere.
It this is shit. So shiny and bright and just innocent and pure. It yeah. is just sickeningly sweet, but I loved it.
Oh, I loved watching it, but I laughed at a lot of it, but in a way that was not like, not to denigrate it. It was just so, I think part of it was that it just took me back so much
yes.
to a time when this was sort of the tone of so many movies.
I always, whenever like I get this hankering to hear music from like that era or earlier, and I hear something like John Denver, who was yeah. like a superstar, and you listen to it now and you kind of go, well, okay, that's really good, but superstar, really
right.
headlining, filling stadiums with his performances. And there was a time when that was not surprising to anybody. It was because it was good and people would go listen to it. This movie reminds me that there was a time when this sort of mindset and stuff, not that it existed or was real, but this is what passed for entertainment.
This was the mainstream. This was like when fucking Toto put out Africa and like swept the Grammys.
Yeah.
And yeah. played like just about every song on the album was a huge radio hit. And it seems so.
Toto 4 was that album, right?
I thought it was actually called Africa. I may be wrong.
I thought the
Foreigner 4.
Well, I think everybody had a 4.
Okay.
At some point. But yeah, I believe it was Toto 4.
Unless you only made 3 albums.
Exactly. Then you said 3.
But yeah, it's that same kind of, that again, it's total like, lack of irony, completely yeah. earnest, just fucking trying as fucking hard as you can try to
and
be.
And just being sweet.
Yes.
And,
yes.
and, but I mean, they still have underage sex and, you know, there's still shenanigans. Like the dude from Mongoose Company is like a real douchebag trying to screw crew out of getting into the race. And
well, we were talking about, The River's Edge. This came out the same year as River's Edge.
Which is astounding.
It's crazy to think that here you've got two teenage
Right.
films,
right.
And this is one of them, and River's Edge is one of them.
Just shows you what happens when teens are left on their own. Shit like River's Edge happens. But when they've got a family and a town behind them, they can become world champions.
World champion BMX bikers.
It is pretty impressive shit, though. I mean, there's the people that they have doing the racing and doing all the little stunts here and there. It's obviously this is something they've spent their life getting good at.
Oh, for sure.
It's like amazing shit.
And this movie was made for people that wanted to see that stuff because it is like there's so much footage of
just dudes popping around on one wheel,
just jumping the bike, doing all these little yeah. you know spinny tricks, and
some of the stuff the actors are doing, like yeah, the Bill yeah. Allen guy's doing.
I
quite
think
a
the
bit
Bill
of
Allen
it.
Guy, I didn't look at his IMDb page, but I mean he had to have been.
He's acted consistently and still is acting,
but so he had to have been.
It wasn't like he came in as a BMXer who could kind of act, and they let him do this movie. I don't think.
Was this his first thing?
Let's
because
let's
I mean see. It really does seem like he was awfully good at
no
he wasn't, but he really apparently trained like crazy hard to get good at it.
Born on the 4th of July.
Oh wow. Okay, so he's gone on to like
episode of Breaking Bad. And in a movie called Heroes of Dirt that came out this year. About a BMXer.
No
a
shit.
A self-focused BMX dirt rider aspires to become the next stunt champion and is forced to mentor a troubled team. Wow.
Wow.
Might have to check that one out.
Okay, so.
So he knows what he's doing on a BMX bike because he does a lot of his own stunts.
Lori Loughlin.
Not so much.
Not so much no. because there was like a lot of like really slow motion close ups of her like from the waist up and
right.
then like a lot of long shots of
a
like,
dude.
A dude in drag. Clearly a
from
dude
the back.
In drag. Yeah, because yeah. like, because you know, I was It's just very painfully obvious.
I know, honestly, I didn't notice it till just now when we were looking at the
at the movie. It did. My son, Dylan, he was like going, that's a guy.
Is that Caitlyn Jenner riding that bicycle?
He kept saying, hey, buddy, careful, your wig's going to fall off.
This was such a good time.
Yeah, it was a blast to watch. And I loved watching it with my son because I told Marty, we watched it and like for about the first third, we were riffing it pretty hard. I mean, we were like picking it apart and then you kind of get into the spirit of it. And then you get into the sort of climactic bit where it's hell track time. And like I know I was, and I'm pretty sure he was. We were rooting like a son of a bitch for him to do well.
I was yelling out. There are some hellacious crashes.
Some wipeouts, yeah.
Some stuff where dudes got like ran over by bicycles and stuff. I mean, and you think, it's a bicycle. No, this shit looked dangerous.
It looked like they went out and got a bunch of real, I mean, which is I'm sure what they did, got a bunch of BMX guys.
All those dudes were the real deal.
Here's a track. We're going to just set up like a fucking ass load of cameras.
Right.
And you guys go. Like it's a real race.
There was that one dude, Hollywood Matt somebody, who just kept wiping out and they kept referencing it. I think he was just a dude that was like, I'll do it. I'll wreck. Like he was a jackass guy before there was a jackass guy.
Right.
And he was willing to just throw himself
out. Plus that got him more like individual screen time.
And to get his name mentioned. And he was like wearing a pink, like racing suit.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, this is clearly a dude that wants people to notice him out there.
Maybe a bit.
This movie was so much fun, and it has the most amazing John Farnham songs in it, which, if you heard our show where we talked about
Savage Streets,
that had a bunch of John Farnham songs in them. This dude is basically the voice of the 80s, as far as I can tell. I mean, it was Whitesnake, was John Parr.
All that shit kind of rolled into one. And it's like,
John Waite.
You got this guy, if you wanted like an epic ballad, you get John Farnham. And if you want just like some, like funky background music, you got like Giorgio Moroder.
Yeah, there you go.
That kind of.
Well, they did have that one song, the Send Me an Angel, that was from the 80s, which is featured prominently.
I love that song.
It's a great song.
So.
And it's an amazing scene when it's in the movie. This is like a sweet little puff pastry. It just melts in your mouth and goes away and leaves nothing behind but joy.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. I thank God it was just last night.
Yeah, because you might not remember any of it.
Because this movie will have evaporated into the...
You know what it reminds me of? And it just hit me. Footloose. Because you've got the kid
from the small town.
In the small town who's really good at doing one thing. And he wishes he could get out if people could just see him. Now, there's no hell track and there's no preacher saying, there's no bicycle racing in this town.
No, but you've got the one guy saying, we're not going to let this young punk come in here and muddy up the professional...
That's true.
So
but he's a force from the outside. He's not being held down from the inside of the town. But it's very similar to that, where it's this tortured youth.
It's all good stuff of the 80s. It's everything that made all those 80s movies, that kind of over the underdog story, overcoming diversity or adversity to, you know. Right.
Standing up to the man, too. There's a little bit of Billy Jack in this one. So, to continue the theme of BMX racing, we're going to have to get on a boat.
Take one hell of a flight.
Because we're going to go all the way around to the other side of the world, to a little place down under. For 1983's BMX Bandits.
Hi.
Hi, Mom. Summer holiday. Don't you work enough at school?
Well, there's no way I'll get a bike like that otherwise. Won't get one by wishing for it.
I did, and I made my parents give it to me before my birthday.
What did you do? Promise to leave home? Oh, don't be a creep all your life.
Go and have a Coke when you finish then. Amol, I've got plenty of money.
Come on, get on with it. We're waiting for them things.
Oh, sorry, I'll bring them right over.
Well, hurry up then.
come on, see me when you finish, eh? No.
Care, I've told you. If she won't work, there's plenty that will.
Oh, but please, I need this job.
I don't care. Get to the office and tell them you're finishing up.
Well, it wasn't her fault.
Don't care whose fault it was. I don't want her friends hanging around here causing trouble.
Well, we're no friends of hers.
You're not kidding.
Never even seen her before.
I don't care. She's going.
Well, that's not fair.
Now, that's life, lad. Look, I'm really sorry about that.
We'll make it up to you.
Oh, don't worry. It's all right. Are you hurt?
Only in the wallet. This is going to cost heaps.
How about you?
Oh, I'm okay. I've got 9 lives. Make that 8.
Yeah, well, pity your bike hasn't. Oh, thanks.
Oh, it's the least we could do.
If it wasn't, we couldn't afford it.
Yeah, well, if you want money, you could always go into scrap metal.
Are you kidding? We'll fix them up somehow and get you mobile too.
Somehow.
Listen, if we put our heads together, we can come up with something.
Yeah, multiple dandruff.
So that is when the three intrepid heroes of our tale come together as a group.
Amigos, as it were.
So we have PJ.
Played by an actor with the greatest fucking name ever in the history of, I think, cinema. Just
the one and only.
Angelo D'Angelo.
Angelo D'Angelo. So PJ and Goose and what's her name? Judy.
Judy.
Now, Judy, she's played by an actress that you might have heard of before. Her
she
name
went
is,
on and did a few things.
What's her name is Nicole Kidman.
Right.
Nicole Kidman in one of her earliest roles here. And really good.
She's great. She's great.
Really good. She's charming. She's pretty. She's young and she's very good. I mean, yeah. It's like watching Natalie Portman in The Professional, except just not as good.
Well, not as good. The movie's not as good. But it's also, it is kind of like watching Natalie Portman where you feel a little bad.
Well, but you also are looking and going, all right, there's someone who's doing things that a child should not be able to pull off because that's amazing. Like Tatum O'Neill, you know.
Oh, for
she
sure.
Was starting out. It's just like astounding stuff.
Yes.
So they meet. They're all BMXers.
She's sort of a wannabe.
Well, no, dude.
Well, she's got the chops, but she just doesn't have the
She doesn't have the bike. Gear. That's why she's working in this great job at the grocery store.
The grocery mall, because this guy apparently we see him again later. He's like the manager of the entire mall.
He's a fucking
he's a
landlord,
retail magnate.
That's right. He's like an early Trump and
Donald Trump.
So they meet. They have a sort of a common goal, which is to get some money to fix PJ and Goose's bikes. And to buy Judy a bike because she needs a badass bike.
Because contrary, the sound effect you heard at the beginning of that clip, contrary to it being like somebody like releasing a lightsaber or shooting a blaster.
Or using their bionic limbs in some fantastic way.
It was just some BMX bikes crashing into some shopping carts.
Well, going airborne over some shopping carts they crashed into.
Anytime anything in this movie goes airborne or jumps
or comes close to the camera,
it goes
yeah, it's a whole kind of mystery. It sounds like a fairy has been granted you a wish
or had an orgasm.
Teacher says every time you hear that a fairy
has an orgasm.
Obviously or not, this is set in Australia.
Yes.
Directed by Brian Trenchard-Smith, who is
a fan.
Yeah, he did Turkey Shoot, also known as Escape 2000, which we covered in a previous show.
Which is just a batshit crazy mishmash of post-apocalyptic Mad Max prison movie.
Island of Dr. Moreau.
Island of Dr. Moreau. Yeah. The story of Ricky, maybe a little.
It's really awesome. If you haven't heard that show, look for
with
it.
With the ever-subtle Steve Railsback.
Master Thespian. So the story here is that these kids are needing some money.
Very innocently, just
needing some money, just like our gang or any of the old, any kids thing where it's like, you know, if we could just get some money together, we could build us a BMX track.
That's right.
So it's all very charming. And then you've got, the other story that this thing tells is of a gang of ruthless criminals.
Genuinely ruthless.
Ruthless, threatening up to a point, not willing to swear. And they don't actually kill anybody, but they certainly put a lot of people in jeopardy.
And they threaten people with weapons of moderate destruction.
Well, I mean, shotguns and sticks. And
switchblade knives.
Mm-hmm. So these
pointed
two...
pointed sticks.
These two groups become entwined.
Yes, there's a MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin is walkie-talkies.
Yeah, an odd... choice.
But the gangsters are going to rob a place, and they have these special police band walkie-talkies that they're going to need so that they can keep an ear on the police.
Imported all the way from the U.S. of A.
Yeah, there's the leader of the gang is British.
Who's quite good.
He's good at it, but it's so funny because this movie's clearly aimed at children, so they don't swear to anything. And there's a part where the bad guy is yelling at his gang, and he goes, "Oh, shut up, you dummies!
You dummies, yeah!" And it says, "We're all pooed up."
Oh yeah, you really stepped in the poo now,
right?
It's really charming, and it's really 80s.
Oh Jesus, yeah. I mean, I thought Rad was like sort of quintessentially 80s.
This is like the 80s with like one quarter of the budget.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, they're doing the best they can. The soundtrack is just terrible synth music. It's just the worst. The costumes and stuff look like the clothes those kids were wearing. They don't look like costumes at all.
No, I mean, like, she's got her little uniform when she's working at the store. And they do eventually manage to get a hold of some
racing gear.
Some BMX gear.
And all Mongoose branded.
And there's another brand, Oakley.
They had Oakley helmets.
Yeah. So.
So this film should be sponsored, though, by Ford, I think.
Holy fuck, that was a sweet car.
The bad guys have this black four-door, like.
I think it's an LTD. I think it's like sort of.
The grill and stuff looked like that.
And the tail end looked like an LTD, but the hood had. But it was
muscled up.
Yeah. It was like if LTD had been like more, like had a. LTD and a Mustang had a baby.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it was.
Yeah, with an awesome set of pipes on it. Things sounded amazing. And you could clearly haul ass.
It was... couldn't catch a BMX bike, but...
Well, BMX bike can do things a fucking LTD
can. Well, a BMX bike can go... Shoo!
You know, the sequel to this was called LTD Bandits.
That's right.
Who are you?
Now, come on, don't be stupid. You can't get away.
What do you want?
We're police officers. We believe you and your friends are withholding stolen property.
You don't look much like police.
We wouldn't be very clever undercover cops if we did. Now, come on, we just want to talk to you.
Where's your identification?
Special branch, miss. We don't risk carrying any. Sit down, please, miss. Now, have you ever been in trouble with the police before?
No.
Didn't think so. You're obviously a good kid, but we wouldn't want to see you end up on the inside, would we? So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You tell us where the stuff is, and I promise that's the last you'll hear about it. The detective sergeant here will back me up on this, I'm sure.
I will.
Good man.
But what if the chief doesn't go for it?
The chief will go for it. I just have to give the nod. So you see, sister, it's up to you. You either tell us where the stuff is, or we can take you in.
But how do I know you won't change your mind?
You can take my word for that as a policeman. Well?
Maybe I should call my lawyer first.
What?
Well, if I confess, I could be in real trouble.
Look, you will be if you don't talk.
Seems an awful lot of fuss to be making over a few mouldy apples. And the tree was hanging over the street anyway.
Apples?
Well... almost.
You know what we're talking about. Look, what are we playing games for? I want to beat it out of her.
Look, I'd like the hockey practice myself, mate, but we can't afford to leave any bruises. It's got to look like she drowned, naturally. We're going to have to psych her into it.
That was Whitey and Mustache. They have other names, but that's how they're credited.
Right. And that's, I think, if you watch this, that's, you'll know.
But they're the main people in the credits. Yeah. They're the first people listed in the movie.
Another great name, David Argue.
David Argue, yes. The one and only David Argue. She's big buddies with Kenneth Anger, I bet. But they are the bad guys. They are, they're part of the gang that needs these radios desperately. So they've been tasked with getting them back from the kids because they realize the kids have them.
It's supposed to be just a simple, pickup operation. It's going to be at the usual drop off. That's what the boss tells
them. It's tied up in a bag that's waterproofed and sunk in the water. And the kids are going around looking for seafood.
Yeah, like oysters and mussels and stuff.
That they're going to get and sell as a way to make money so they can get their bikes fixed. And then they find this box that's full of these expensive walkie-talkies, and they decide they're going to get them and sell them to their friends.
Right. They're selling them for like $30-$40, like some fraction of what they probably were worth.
Oh, yeah. And they're badass, too. Like, they're all over Sydney with these things and still able to hear. So these are nice walkies.
Pull other police.
Exactly.
Again, police issue.
Exactly. The real deal, not just some bullshit you can get at the drugstore.
So we find that Judy, the Whitey, and Mustache have determined what has happened to their goods.
They realize it right away.
They track the kids down and they use one of the walkie-talkies that they are able to retrieve and can listen in on the conversations that the kids are having. So they find out that Judy, the Nicole Kidman character, is going back to the boathouse where they have
all the others, apparently.
Their stash.
Right.
And she's going back to pick up a few more because there's some other kids interested in buying them.
And that was one thing I thought, because the bad guys clearly hear them saying, you need to go get some more, go back to the boathouse. But instead of going, where are they hidden, or tearing the boathouse apart looking for them, because they know that's why she's there.
Right.
They just spend the whole time bullying her.
Bullying a 16-year-old girl and threatening to
murder her.
Murder her or beat the shit out of her.
So there is a what feels like a genuine threat here from these guys, but they are played so comically.
Oh my God. It's very...
It reminded Laurel me and Hardy of the Goonies, is what this whole movie reminded me.
Somebody in one of the reviews on IMDb actually called this the Goonies on Wheels.
Yeah, I think that's totally appropriate because that's the same thing. You got a gang of bad guys and a gang of kids, and they're back and forth and, you know, threatening each other and then going to take it. It was, like I said, like a Scooby-Doo is what it felt like to me, like a Scooby-Doo mystery. But the story is that these bad guys are trying to get this back. The kids are trying to keep them so they can sell them, so they can get money, so that they can they're not going to build a BMX park. They're going to just fix up their bikes
and
get Judy something to ride. That's the whole reason they're doing that.
It's a very innocuous reason to do something, and they just happen to luck up on this box of walkie-talkies.
Right, and they're considering it salvage.
And it goes clearly south from there. I mean, it immediately becomes a dire life or death situation. I mean,
for both sides, because the two henchmen, Whitey and Mustache, have been threatened by their boss,
who's going to fucking like break down and call him a dummy again.
Another dummy. Yeah, you don't want that. There are moments in this where Whitey and Mustache are chasing them in their LTD, and I mean, they are chasing them
right on them,
and not like a special effect chasing, like camera mounted to the front wheel, and there is a dude pedaling in front of this car, and they're going fast.
This is, you know, this is 4 or 5 years after Mad Max, probably. And apparently, like, the Australian Film Commission learned nothing from the making of Mad Max in terms of safety.
Well, I mean, a lot of this stuff was done without any regulation.
It's very guerrilla. Yeah, it's very guerrilla, because they just, like, strap a camera on there and get a guy riding a bike and we'll try to run him over.
Yeah. And it looks like they're trying to run him over at times. Not all the time. Sometimes it was silly. They were far, far away, but there were moments in this that were harrowing.
Where it was close. Yes. Yeah.
Some good car crashes and things. And
yeah, good car crashes. But even the car crash stuff is played for...
it's comic.
It's all very much played for laughs. I mean, with the momentary interjections of sort of dire threat.
Right.
The majority of it is played for laughs.
Very, very light. There's a great thing where they're being chased through a mall and through a shopping center, and it's multi-tiered. They're going up and down steps, and they're
escalators.
It's awesome.
I liked where they're using the walkie-talkies, and they're getting into the wavelength of all these other services. So we've got construction guys, and they're going like that. Don't drop that until I say now.
Right.
And then the kids are on there, and they're going, do it now. And so he just drops this huge girder on the boss's car. The boss's
brand new car that you see him polishing and telling the kids, hey, you kids, get away from that. I just got through washing that.
Yeah. And then they fucking pull down an entire building.
Yeah. Well, the building was being pulled down, but the guy went in to check to see if it was empty.
Right.
Before they pulled it down, and they said, don't do it till I give you the word. And then it's like the kids go, word.
There's the word.
So, it's funny.
It's fluff. So,
and it's totally family friendly. I would bet where Rad would appeal. I think Rad would appeal to an older kid, and BMX Bandits would appeal to a younger kid.
That's probably safe to say.
You know, because it's, there's less romance. There's hardly any romance in this. There's just the mere mention a little bit of, well, he's got a better body and he's better looking and stuff. And, you know, there's a little bit of that, but it's not like it was where there's a whole romantic subplot in Rad.
And there's no like slow motion ballet, like BMX ballet this, like there was in Rad.
This is decidedly less fruity.
Oh, that was fucking some shit in Rad. I
could see watching both of these movies again, but I could see watching Rad quicker.
Oh, I think I would go back to Rad before I would go back to this. I would go back to Rad just to show it to somebody and say, you're not fucking going to believe this. It
would be a good one to be really, really high and watch.
Just watch this is what you would say.
I swear, man, watching Rad again when Kay came over and I said, you got to watch this opening bit. I was fucking dancing. I was standing up.
Like, which bit did you watch?
The opening. The opening thing with not the Thunder in Your Heart song, with the other John Farnham song.
Or where they're delivering the papers?
No, before that, where it's just the credit sequence where they're just doing stuff.
Badass
song. I was like, yep, this fucking badass soundtrack right here.
How did she react?
She was looking at me like if I was going, hey, you know what's really delicious? You got to enjoy this McDonald's hamburger.
Completely nonplussed.
Well, she was getting it for what it was, which was basically a shit movie.
Oh, it's big just cheese.
It's bad. It's not good, but it's awesome.
Right. And I think it's safe to say that is the case with both of these movies.
Yes, they're
neither one of these are great movies, but they are both completely awesome and fun. And
I had an incredible time watching both of them. Yeah. But I don't know how strongly I would recommend BMX Bandits. If you only had to watch one, watch Rad.
Yeah, I agree, totally agree. For one thing, you're going to just see a lot more like for reals, like badass BMX stunt riding, like
crazy
stuff
shit.
Where you're going, oh shit.
Well, you're also going to see some incredible stunt work.
Yeah.
But with Hal Needham behind the camera, you're going to see great stunt work.
And you're going to see some incredible stunt work in BMX Bandits, but it's more these people are insane.
Right.
They're hanging on the side of a moving truck with no safety, clearly no safety harness.
Nothing you can. These were just stunt people.
And there's no digital wire removal. This is 1983. So like they just got like a guy who said, yeah, I'll do it. And they hang on the side of the truck and they go around and fling him off. And it's insane.
Just the whole thing. And then the whole idea that those kids would get on top of a moving truck and then go down to the front and then cover the windshield completely.
Yes.
Which puts them at risk.
Yes.
Too.
And Judy.
Everybody.
Yeah. But I mean, that's, I guess you're improvising.
You're on it.
At that point, you're improvising. You're just like, we got to do something. What can we do? And all good moving vans come with a tarp. Rolled up tarp above the windscreen that's so just, that you can...
Just a child's hand away from covering your vision. It made me appreciate the lack of guns in Australia, at least at that time. Because the guns aren't really part of the equation much in this movie. And honestly, if that was in America, they would have 19 guns in the cab of that car and they'd be shooting through the roof trying to kill those kids.
Well, I mean, if this was in America, like...
That would have blasted those kids, right?
Most of the kids would have guns. That's true. They'd just be like, hang on, I gotta go to my dad's office, and they'd come out with
And they'd all be assholes, let's be honest.
Probably.
Basically.
But maybe not in 83 in America.
One thing I thought of, because, you know, this is BMX. Both of these films are focused on the BMX riders and the whole idea of that as a thing. And it made me think of other... Like, I know there was a roller skating
craze
briefly.
There's a trucker movie
craze. There was a trucker craze. But, I mean, as far as, like, things like BMX biking, because there was roller skating, because you had all that sort of... You had Xanadu, which had roller skating in it, and you had...
Roller Boogie.
There was a number of those things, you know, and then like in Boogie Nights, you know, there's Roller Girl.
Mm-hmm. So
there was a time when that was a thing.
But
I was trying to think if there were other things like this. Have there been skydiving movies?
Well, there were breakdancing movies. There were many breakdancing movies.
Like Breakin' 2.
Breakin' and Breakin' 2. But I think there were lesser known. Those were the Lawrence of Arabia's of breakdancing movies. It's like David Lean presents Electric Boogaloo.
I was trying to think if there were other like activities though. Hang gliding. Was there ever a hang gliding craze where they started making movies? Yeah. Cause that's what these really are. It's a way to take a sport, a activity and turn it into
that was popular and.
Right. I know there were hang gliding movies because I've seen them on Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, but that was not specifically a hang glide.
It was a movie that included people who were hang gliding.
But you've got Side Hackers.
Yeah, but that never caught on, apparently.
And you got to think,
that's also called Three the Hard Way. So let's just get that out there.
But that's all about the sexual aspect of it.
Oh, that'd be more like Seven the Hard Way.
So there's, you got Over the Top. Of arm professional wrestling. Wrestling.
That's perfect. But was there another one? Because I think that was the idea was, this is the thing that's going
to professional catch on. Arm wrestling is blowing up all right. over the States.
Because we've had boxing movies forever, and we will always
have boxing. Well, boxing movie. Is a...
That's been around forever.
That's a thing.
But so is riding a bicycle. They just found a way to kind of make it cool. I guess Breaking Away had...
It was about bike racing, yeah.
But also, it was more about growing up and leaving a small town was the core of that. It wasn't about, let's all get the gang together and go race bikes.
You got Chariots of Fire, which is about Olympic.
About burning up chariots.
Right.
Yeah. So.
I think that's what Gladiator was about.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, I was entertained.
Are you not entertained?
So if you're listening and you have an idea of like a period where a series of movies were made about an activity like this, I would love to know what they are and I'd love to look into it.
Like knitting?
The whole knitting craze of the late 90s, you know.
That's right.
The Michael Bay knit one pearl explosion sort of.
Every time you could use the sound effects from BMX Bandits and make a knitting movie, and it would be like
every time. Imagine all the close-up, quick-cut shots of the needles going in and out of the threads.
If you got the sound guy from BMX Bandits and Michael Bay's editing team together, you could make a movie about the creation of a scarf that would be epic.
Wow, I like it. Transmorphers 5.
It'd be like Transwarmers.
Face warmers.
That's right. Transformers 5. The Muff.
So if you, there you go. That sounds like something from Roller Girl.
Yeah, that isn't.
So if you've noticed,
the
last couple of shows we've done have been a little bit askew from our normal subject matter.
We lost our directions to the cave.
Yeah, the cave we're in now is well lit.
This is more like
Flickers. Family friendly.
This is Flickers from the field.
From the flower filled field.
Right. Far afield.
So we're gonna maybe go a little darker coming out.
Yes.
We've spent too long in the sun and it's starting to like cause me to develop a rash.
I'm peeling.
I need to get underground quick. So don't expect another family friendly show next time.
No, probably not.
It'll be good, but it won't be that. So send your suggestions, your ideas for another trend or genre that was unheard of, unknown, and undiscovered.
Yeah, there has to be.
There's got to be more.
There's got to be.
So send us your ideas.
And we keep talking about doing the trucker thing.
The trucker thing will happen, but that's a whole separate deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you've got trucker ideas, we already have 4 or 5.
We did
so.
Them Bigfoot's movies.
Yeah.
So we've dealt with a bunch of like critical social issues.
We haven't done UFO movies.
We've done Big Feet.
We haven't done UFO
movies. We have not done UFO movies.
Do Fire in the Sky and the Betty and Barney
Hill thing. Betty and Barney Hill thing.
Interrupted
yeah.
Journey.
That's really good.
It's also, what's it called? The UFO Incident is the name of the
yes,
movie.
Yes, that's the one with James Earl Jones and Estelle Parsons.
I know way too much about this case. The book was called...
Her middle name is the book Louise.
The book was called An Interrupted Journey. The movie's called The UFO Incident. It is typically referred to as the Betty and Barney Hill story. So, yeah,
I know, based on talking to you quite a bit about it.
Yeah. So it was,
and I did see it.
Yeah, well, I've seen it a few times, and I've... It's good stuff.
It's all
TV
good.
Movie.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Back when that chip... meant something.
Well, now, if you're a TV series, it means something.
Right.
Yeah. I don't even know if they make TV movies anymore. I think they just make 8-episode series that run on Netflix and Amazon.
Well, there's the Stephen King thing coming up with James Franco about the guy who goes back in time to stop the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, really? They're going to make that?
It's an 8-part... epic 8-part miniseries for, I think, Netflix.
Nice.
Starring James Franco.
Nice.
It looked, the trailer looks
yeah, very Parker read intriguing. That book.
I heard it was great.
Alright, so I was trying to wrap it up earlier. We swayed off track.
Again.
It's generally what happens. It's because we like talking to you guys so much that we just can't.
It's digressions from the cave.
We just cannot stop.
We're in a fucking field, for God's sake.
That's right. I mean, I need to get out of here, man. The bugs are eating me alive. So send us your ideas to flickersfrom@gmail.com or flickersfrom@yahoo.com.
Or hit us on the Facebook page.
And until next time, we got to
slap us on the ass.
We got to start digging. I got to get underground.
I got to get to digging.
Hand me that shovel, Mike. I gotta get dark.
Listen, I reckon we should give it another 5 minutes, then you try and give me a lift up, okay?
Okay. Don't worry, you'll be all right with me. You know what? This reminds me of a really good movie I saw. Blood of the Undead. About these two teenagers who fell into a crypt.
How did they get out?
They didn't.
Oh, Goose, that's just what I want to hear.
Don't worry, you're all right with me. They were turned into zombies.
Oh, Goose, don't.
Zombies.
Goose.
Imagine being turned into one.
Please.
Don't worry, you're with me. Being a zombie isn't all bad. I mean, you get to stay up every night. Of course, you've got to spend the rest of your life dead.